Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind audio training series. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of complete transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into these audios. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects to listening to these audios may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
Do you ever feel like there's so much you're trying to improve that you get overwhelmed? John Maxwell said, take one giant step at a time. Military strategists teach their armies to fight on one front at a time. Settle on one attitude that you want to tackle at this time and do it. What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, GA, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich Show. Our talented host, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be with us shortly, but for now, let's kick off the morning. Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good Thermonuclear Thursday, Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Wendy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry, Wendy, Mahara, Elizabeth. How are you this morning?
Great. Hi,
hello, Elizabeth, Mahara.
Doing great.
Good to hear it.
Woohoo! Morning, Mahara fam. Audis from Jacksonville.
Hey, Andre.
Good morning, guys.
Teresa in Portland.
Hey, Teresa.
Good morning. It's Kathy in Idaho.
Hey, Kathy.
Early.
Good morning,
Kathy
Early in Idaho.
Good morning, family. It's Tracy Rosa from Southern California.
Hey, Tracy.
Good morning. It's Jerry from Ontario.
Hey, Jerry.
Good morning, Sean Canty in Massachusetts. How's everybody doing?
Hey, man.
Good morning.
Anita in Columbus. Good morning, everyone.
Anita.
Good morning.
It's Lona Rochelle from California.
Rochelle.
We're glad you're with us.
Good morning. Thank you,
Good morning,
Rick from California.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. California, right? Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. This is Anthony from beautiful Clearwater, Florida.
Anthony.
Good morning, family.
Woo!
It's hard to follow that kind of energy.
There you go.
you got to bring it.
One is all.
You can bring it.
You got to step up your game.
Morning, it's Charity from Bronx, New York. How's everybody doing this morning?
Hey, Charity.
Good morning,
this is Greg rocking in the Bakken. How are you guys doing today?
Morning, family.
Hey, Bill.
Hey.
Good morning, everyone. It's Hyacinth from New Jersey.
Good morning, Hyacinth.
Hey.
Welcome.
Thank you, thank you.
All right, keep it coming. Tell us your name and where are you calling in from?
We're still here.
You got a short amount of time before we kick it off.
This is Peter from Missouri.
Hey,
boy,
Peter.
Am I excited.
Good morning.
Woohoo! Way to step out.
Great day. Great day.
Fabulous day. Glad to be alive.
Yes.
The third.
Party started.
Well, right.
What time is it?
Freedom
time.
Freedom time.
It's time.
Might wake Paul up.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Woo-hoo. And you take action. I take action, Arthur St. Louis.
All
good
right,
morning,
Arthur.
Good
Good morning, Kevin in Chattanooga.
Good morning,
hey, Kevin.
Morning. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carol in Southern California. Hey,
good morning.
Good morning,
Sam. Yeah.
Sounds like shuffling. Moving along.
Hey, what's everyone doing today?
Good.
Oh,
great. Awesome. Oh.
Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, good day to you. It is Think and Grow Rich Thursday, October 20th, 2016. Another great day to be alive. Thank you so much for tuning in to this mastermind today. I wonder what treasures we're all going to discover together. Treasures of the heart, treasures of the mind, treasures of the soul. As we come together to find the good stuff so we can inspire each other to continue on in our freedom crusade. That's a great thing. So, guys, I'm going to unmute the lines. Let me know if you're fired up on this Think and Grow Rich Thursday, Thermonuclear Thursday. Are you excited to be alive? Are you grateful to be breathing? Are you grateful to be plugging in with positive, passionate, motivated people who are moving forward in life in new and better directions each and every single day? Let me hear you if you are. As I unmute the lines right now.
Oh, yes. Am I excited? Yes.
Sounds like we got a bunch of excited crusaders here. So, guys, thank you for that. Thanks for helping us get the mastermind kicked off with some energy today. Let's excuse me. Catching my breath here. Had to run in from my house out to my office outside, which is about 30 or 40 yards from my house. So I'm a little out of breath. but guys, thanks for being here. Let's go ahead and jump into our major definite purpose self-confidence formula, and then we're going to get into the message for today, which I'm really excited about. I think we can be inspired. I think we can learn. I think we can grow. I think we can be just really enthused to go forth today and get the most from the day and seize the day and show up today in the best way possible, which is one of the big intentions of why we gather here together. We gather here together to help each other formulate a great mindset, yes. We gather here together to inspire each other, yes. We gather here together sometimes to give each other mental energy. I actually heard someone say not too long ago that they come to this mastermind and it's like they say it's like better than coffee. I've heard several people say that actually, where they have this just like mental energy to go forth and do the things they need to do. And that's just another little side benefit. So I think that's going to happen today. I want to encourage everyone to tune in, unify, open your minds, open your hearts. Let's be present here together for the next little bit of time that we have. Let's make this an investment, you know, in each other, and we can do that by being present, and we can really take some great things away from our time together if we do that. So, star six, who has the definite purpose self-confidence formula ready for us? If you would, come on out. That would be fantastic.
This is Peter.
Peter, I was hoping you were going to come out. I heard you this Woo-hoo! Morning. Thanks for being here.
I'm excited. By the first day of, I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe that I will have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. I am now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this, and I will follow that plan when it is received. A self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the objective of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, consistent action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the practice of self-auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. And fourth, I have clearly written down the description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I shall have developed significant self-confidence for its obtainment. And fifth, I finally realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice, and therefore I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed at attracting to myself the force I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealous, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love and for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude toward others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day, with full faith that I will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. Amen. Peter Tinsley.
Amen, Peter Tinsley. I believe in you, sir, and I know I'm not the only one. Hold on a second here. Freedom Crusaders, if you believe in Peter Tinsley, let's let him know. I just really get a kick out of what we do here together, guys. I love it. It makes me smile when we do this together. This major definite purpose, this self-confidence formula, tuning our minds to that which we want in life, tuning our minds to pay attention to those ideas and plans and books and audios and people and circumstances that are going to lead us to the things that we want. That's what we do here together every day. And it's more fun to do it together, I think, than it is to be by ourselves. You know, a lot of times we're out here in the world, you know, doing the thing, setting our goals and going for things. And sometimes we feel like we're by ourselves, but you know what? Not here in this community, not here with Peter, not here with Mahara, not here with everyone here who gathers together every day. We get to do this together. And I just think it's so much more fun to do it together. Hold on 1 second. I'm hearing feedback. Hold on, guys. Hold on. And second. If you happen to be on the speaker line, please just make sure that your line is muted. Okay, so, hey, guys, I got some good stuff that I want to pass along. Just one little thought, and then we're going to get into the science of being great. This morning, as I was having my breakfast, I was browsing through this book that I've been mentioning to you guys about. It's called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. And there's this great story that I have to share with you guys because we are Freedom Crusaders. And I read this story of this amazing Freedom Crusader this morning. So I wanted to pass this along. This is in chapter 7, which is the law of respect. And here's how it opens up. It says, if you had seen her, your first reaction might not have been respect. She wasn't a very impressive looking woman, just a little over 5 feet tall in her late 30s with dark brown weathered skin. She couldn't read or write. The clothes she wore were coarse and worn. When she smiled, people could see that her two front teeth were missing. She lived alone. The story was that she had abandoned her husband when she was 29. She gave him no warning. One day he woke up and she was gone. She talked to him only once after that, years later, and she never mentioned his name again. Her employment was intermittent. Most of the time she took domestic jobs in small hotels, scrubbing floors, making up rooms, and cooking. But just about every spring and fall, she would disappear from her place of employment, come back broke, and work again to scrape together what little money she could. When she was present on the job, she worked hard and seemed physically tough, but also she was also known to have bouts where she would suddenly fall asleep, some coming in the middle of the conversation. She attributed her affliction to a blow to the head she had taken during a teenage fight. Who would respect a woman like that? The answer is more than 300 slaves who followed her to freedom out of the South. They recognized and respected her leadership. So did just about every abolitionist in New England. The year was 1857. The woman's name was Harriet Tubman, a leader by any other name. While she was only in her 30s, Harriet Tubman came to be called Moses because of her ability to go into the land of captivity and bring so many of her people out of slavery's bondage. Tubman started life as a slave. She was born in 1820 and grew up in the farmland of Maryland. When she was 13, she received a blow to her head that troubled her all her life. She was in a store, and a white overseer had demanded her assistance so that he could beat an escaping slave. When she refused and blocked the overseer's way, the man threw a 2-pound weight that hit Tubman in the head. She nearly died, and her recovery took months. At age 24, she married John Tubman, a free black man. But when she talked to him about escaping to freedom in the North, he wouldn't hear of it. He said that if she tried to leave, he'd turn her in. When she resolved to take her chances and go North in 1849, she did so alone, without a word to him. Her first biographer, Sarah Bradford, said that Tubman told her, "I had reasoned this out in my mind. There was one of two things I had a right to, liberty or death. If I could not have one, I would have the other, for no man should take me alive. I should fight for my liberty as my strength lasted, and when the time came for me to go, the Lord would let them take me." Close quote. Tubman made her way to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania via the Underground Railroad, a secret network of free blacks, white abolitionists, and Quakers who helped escaping slaves on the run. Though free herself, she vowed to return to Maryland and bring her family out. In 1850, she made her first return trip as an Underground Railroad conductor, someone who retrieved and guided out slaves with the assistance of sympathizers along the way. A leader of steel. Each summer and winter, Tubman worked as a domestic, scraping together the funds she needed to make return trips to the South. and every spring and fall, she risked her life by going south and returning with more people. She was fearless, and her leadership was unshakable. It was extremely dangerous work, and when people in her charge wavered, she was strong as steel. Tubman knew escaped slaves who returned would be beaten and tortured until they gave information about those who had helped them, so she never allowed any people she was guiding to give up. Quote, dead folks tell no tales, close quote, she would tell a faint-hearted slave as she put a loaded pistol to his head. You go on or die. Between 1850 and 1860, Harriet Tubman guided out more than 300 people, including many of her own family members. She made 19 trips in all and was very proud of the fact that she never once lost a single person under her care. I never ran my train off the track, she said, and I never lost a passenger. Southern whites put a $12,000 price on her head, a fortune. Southern blacks simply called her Moses. By the start of the Civil War, she had brought more people out of slavery than any other American in history, black or white, male or female. Tubman's reputation and influence commanded respect, and not just among slaves who dreamed of gaining their freedom. Influential Northerners of both races sought her out. She spoke at rallies and in homes throughout Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Boston, Massachusetts, St. Catharines, Canada, and Auburn, New York, where she eventually settled. People of prominence sought her out, such as Senator William Seward, who later became Abraham Lincoln's Secretary of State, an outspoken abolitionist, and former slave Frederick Douglass. Tubman's advice and leadership were also requested by John Brown, the famed revolutionary abolitionist. Brown always referred to the former slave as General Tubman, and he was quoted as saying she was a better officer than most whom he had seen and should command an army as successfully as she had led her small parties of fugitives. That is the essence of the law of respect. Harriet Tubman would appear to be an unlikely candidate for leadership because the deck was certainly stacked against her. She was uneducated. She lived in a culture that didn't respect African Americans, and she labored in a country where women didn't have the right to vote yet. Despite her circumstances, she became an incredible leader. The reason is simple. People naturally follow leaders stronger than themselves. Everyone who came into contact with her recognized her strong leadership, ability, and felt compelled to follow her. That's how the law of respect works. And I'm going to pause there in the book, the reading of this book. And I just felt like I had to pass that along, guys. For some reason, as I read that this morning and here live on the Mastermind, just get choked up. You know, you think about a woman like that who, without education, without money, everything stacked against her. Right? I mean, what would give her the right to think that she could go forth and do something great? What would give her the right to think that she could go forth and lead people to freedom? Well, for some reason, she had this fire of freedom burning inside of her heart. You know those lines that the book shared where she said she had determined that she had the right to one of two things, liberty or death, and she was going to have one of them, liberty or death, right? And she got her freedom, and then she proceeded to have something in her heart, something in her soul, something in her spirit that said, my freedom is not enough. I got to go back and lead my brothers and sisters to freedom. And she did. And isn't that an inspiring story? And doesn't it illustrate to us that we too can be leaders? We too can have a sense of what is right. We too can have a sense of that thing that we're supposed to do, regardless of whether or not we've got two front teeth missing, regardless of what kind of job we're working in, regardless of what kind of circumstances we're living in, regardless of what kind of background we grew up in. We too can have that call of that something that we're supposed to do and maybe follow the example of a Harriet Tubman and just decide that we're going to go for the good in life and just decide that we're going to lead in the way that we're meant to lead. That story really inspires me, guys. And for all of us here on the Thinking Gurich Mastermind who find ourselves in that or identify ourselves with that name of a freedom crusader. Wow, Harriet Tubman, what a freedom crusader. someone that we can really be inspired by, guys. So I hope that there was a little bit of inspiration there for you. It inspired me this morning when I read that story, so I wanted to pass it along. So with that, guys, let's go ahead and get back into our regularly scheduled study. As you may know, we are currently chewing up and digesting this book called The Science of Being Great, which is written by Wallace Wattles. And we are in, chapter 29. You can grab this on our website at growrichaudios.com if you're new to our mastermind. And we're going to get through a few pages here, and then we'll open up the lines to hear from you. What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What treasures of inspiration can you bring to us? What lessons can you bring to us that you're picking up in your various studies that can inspire us all today, move our hearts, stir our emotions, so we can be moved to that greatness that's inside of all of us and go forth and do what we're supposed to do today. So we'll get to that here in just a moment. But for now, let's hear the words of Wallace Wattles, A View of Evolution. Wallace Wattles writes, "But how shall we avoid throwing ourselves into altruistic work if we are surrounded by poverty, ignorance, and every appearance of misery, as many people are? Those who live where the withered hand of want is thrust upon them from every side, appealingly for aid, must find it hard to refrain from continuous giving. Again, there are social and other irregularities, injustices done to the weak, which fire generous souls with an almost irresistible desire to set things right. We want to start a crusade." Oh, man, that's that one line would be worth this whole chapter here. We want to start a crusade, and we do, don't we? Freedom crusade. We feel that the wrongs will never be righted until we give ourselves wholly to the task. In all this, we must fall back upon the point of view. We must remember that this is not a bad world, but a good world in the process of becoming. Beyond all doubt, there was a time when there was no life upon this earth. The testimony of geology to the fact that the globe was once a burning gas and molten rock clothed about with boiling vapors is indisputable, and we do not know how life could have existed under such conditions. That seems impossible. Geology tells us that later on a crust formed, the globe cooled and hardened, the vapors condensed and became mist or fell in rain, the cooled surface crumbled into soil, moisture accumulated, ponds and seas were gathered together, and at last, somewhere in the water or on the land appeared something that was alive. It is reasonable to suppose that this first life was in single-celled organisms, but behind these cells was the insistent urge of spirit, the great one life seeking expression. And soon organisms, having too much life to express themselves with one cell, had two cells, and then many, and still more life was poured into them. Multiple-celled organisms were formed, plants, trees, vertebrates, and mammals, many of them with strange shapes, but all were perfect after their kind, as everything is that God makes. No doubt there were crude and almost monstrous forms of both animal and plant life, but everything filled its purpose in its day, and it was all very good. Then another day came, the great day of the evolutionary process, a day when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy to behold the beginning of the end for man. The object aimed at from the beginning had appeared upon the scene. An ape-like being, little different from the beasts around him in appearance, but infinitely different in his capacity for growth and thought, art and beauty, architecture and song, poetry and music, all these were unrealized possibilities in that ape-man soul, and for his time and kind, he was very good. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, says St. Paul. From the day the first man appeared, God began to work in men, putting more and more of himself into each succeeding generation, urging them on to larger achievements and to better conditions, social, governmental, and domestic. Those who, looking back into ancient history, see the awful conditions which existed, the barbarities, the idolatries, and sufferings, and reading about God in connection with these things, are disposed to feel that he was cruel and unjust to man, should pause to think. From the ape man to the coming Christ man, the race has had to rise, and it could only be accomplished by the successive unfoldments of the various powers and possibilities latent in the human brain. Naturally, the cruder and more animal-like part of man came to its full development. First, for ages, men were brutal. Their governments were brutal. Their religions were brutal. Their domestic institutions were brutal. And what appears to be an immense amount of suffering resulted from this brutality. But God never delighted in suffering. And in every age, he has given men a message, telling them how to avoid it. And all the while, the urge of life, insistent, powerful, compelling, made the race keep moving forward. A little less brutality in each age and a little more spirituality in each age. And God kept on working in man. In every age, there have been some individuals who were in advance of the mass and who heard and understood God, who heard and understood God better than their fellows. Upon these, the inspiring hand of spirit was laid, and they were compelled to become interpreters. These were the prophets and the seers, sometimes the priests and kings, and oftener still, they were the martyrs driven to the stake, block, or cross. It is to these who have heard God, spoken his word, and demonstrated his truth in their lives that all progress is really due. Again, considering for a moment the presence of what is called evil in the world, we see that that which appears to us to be evil is only undeveloped, and that the undeveloped is perfectly good in its own stage and place. Because all things are necessary to complete man's unfoldment. All things in human life are the work of God. The graft rings in our cities, the red light districts and their unfortunate inmates, these he consciously and voluntarily produced. Their part in the plan of unfoldment must be played. And when their part has been played, he will sweep them off the stage as he did the strange and poisonous monsters which filled the swamps of ages past. In concluding this vision of evolution, we might ask why it was all done. What is it for? This question should be easy for the thoughtful mind to answer. God desires to express himself on the highest moral and spiritual plane. God wanted to evolve a form in which he could live as a God and manifest himself as a God. This was the aim of the evolutionary force. The ages of warfare, bloodshed, suffering, injustice, and cruelty were tempered in many ways with love and justice as time advanced. And this was developing the brain of man to a point where it should be capable of giving full expression to the love and justice of God. The end is not yet. God aims not at the perfection of a few choice specimens for exhibition, like the large berries at the top of the box, but the glorification of the race. The time will come when the kingdom of God shall be established on earth. The time foreseen by the dreamer of the Isle of Patmos, when there shall be no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away, and there shall be no night there. And so, my friends, there we have this chapter of the science of being great and some interesting things, right? One of the things that, you know, I always love about our community and our culture and, you know, hopefully one of the common beliefs that we have is we practice this this idea called tolerance. You know, it's one of the laws of success. Where sometimes we'll read things that may or may not harmonize with, you know, that which we believe. Sometimes we may read things, you know, the different opinions out there on evolution, right? Different opinions on the, out there on the creation of the world. I'm not here and we're not here to tell you to believe one way or another. But one thing we are here to hopefully encourage everyone to practice is tolerance and being able to have ideas exposed to us that sometimes might be a little bit out of harmony with that which maybe we believe. And that's tolerance, being able to hear ideas that might be different from the ideas that we latch onto and be open to looking at things in a different way. And I guess the big thing that I get out of this last chapter that we just read, regardless of, you know, all the details in getting there, for me, the conclusion is, and I think this is like, this is the useful part for me to take away from this, is that for me, it is more useful and inspiring to believe that, like as Wallace Waddle says in one of his other books, that the world, we are in a wonderful becoming. We are all moving towards something better. We are all growing and progressing. This thing that we're a part of, this planet that we're spinning on, life that exists upon the face of the earth, the interactions that we have as people every day in our lives, we are all a part, my personal belief, of a grand plan. And it's this story of, again, whether you believe in evolution or not, the concept of evolution is that over time, progress happens. Over time, things get better. Over time, people become more enlightened. Over time, step by step, things get better. And if you're to look at that just from a strict standpoint of, is it useful to believe that or not, just from that standpoint, because I think when we look at our beliefs, there's a couple of things we want to look at. We want to seek truth, yes, and we also want to seek beliefs that can serve us, that are also in alignment with the truth. So it's sort of like this little balancing act. You know, we want to find truth, we want to latch onto it as much as we can, and we also want to focus on those things that are true and useful to us. And so when I think about, you know, this concept of we're all getting better, we're all moving towards something better, to me, that is an extremely useful belief to have, because it leads to an optimistic gaze that, you know, you can have on things and people, you know, to just believe that everything's getting better. I mean, you know, one view of just one other little illustration of this for me. You know, you have people out in the world that are atheists, and I'm not like preaching anything against atheism. Like, I love all people and I respect all people for whatever their views are. For me personally, I've said this to myself, like, atheism to me, just my personal thoughts, I could be totally off on this, but that doesn't seem like a very inspiring way to live, just me personally, right? And so just from a belief standpoint, I would rather believe that there is something greater. There is this power out there. There is this creator. There is this planner. There is this grand architect. And that everything does have a purpose. I mean, to me, that is just a more inspiring way to live, right? And so, again, just from like a utility standpoint and a usefulness standpoint, you know, I really appreciate, you know, what Wallace Waddles, at least it seems to me anyway, what he's endeavoring to lead us to, you know, through these pages. So, friends, those are my thoughts. I'm excited to hear from you. What's going on in your heart, mind, and soul today? Come on out and share. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific mastermind, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are part of our community here. And brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. One moment. Star 6, who's first? Come on out.
Wanda from Rhode Island.
Hey, good morning. Welcome.
You know, I was just thinking, you were talking about a strong woman. Think about, you know, Elizabeth, you know, her fight for freedom, you know, when, you know, her story. It's just so amazing how, you know, she took a, you know, a step, even though she was afraid, but she just went for it, and how she's helping people. So when I think of freedom, I really think of her. So I just want to say that.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you for highlighting that, and Elizabeth. Star 6, who's next? Interesting discussion today, right, guys? Like, interesting content. Come on out. We'd love to hear from you today.
Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth. How are you?
Oh, I'm pumped up. I'm excited. I'm grateful. Thank you for the comments that the caller just made. I really thank you for your comments. And it's been on my heart for, many years. And things have kind of come to fruition, and I wanted to share it with the Thinking Village family. I think some time ago, Paul, we were all talking about the various parts of our lives. And you asked me about something that my grandmother started back in 1935, started a foundation, and her symbol was the five-pointed star. And I took that five-pointed star and I kind of adopted it with my foundation that I formed. And it had the physical, the mental, the social, the financial, and the educational, all these parts of our lives that we should be working on. And, of course, emanating from that five-pointed star was spirit. And I wanted to kind of show that and get that out. And in conversation with my mastermind partner, Joe Dollar, several months ago, my star became a reality. he and I put together on the like the picture of the star with the spirit coming from it, and designed a T-shirt. And I launched my first fundraiser for Be Part of the Solution yesterday. And I put it on the website. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'm so grateful. Because now for the star that we talked about has come alive. I'm so excited. Only God did it. And it shows you how you start with a call like this. Never knew Joe Dollar, never knew any of you. And what has happened? You all have come together, motivated me, given me the inspiration and the idea to put forth what I believe in. So I am so thankful. And if you get a chance to see it and if you'd like to donate anything, you know, you're certainly welcome to. But I wanted you to know it has become a reality. And I thank God for it. Thank you. Back to you, Paul.
Woo-hoo. We're so excited for you, Elizabeth. Can't wait to look at that. Thank you so much for sharing.
Hey, Paul. It's Alicia. Can you hear me?
Hey. Yeah. How you doing, Alicia?
Excellent. I love hearing stories like this because it helps you understand, like, the struggles that you're in. How did they go through it and give the faith and the confidence to say no to their husband and leave and go do what they really, really want to do or really in their mind to do? And it would be against them to, you know, stop and not do, you know, what other people are telling them. So this is a very powerful story that helps people see, you know, when people are going through the struggle, what did they do? And they had the confidence to be able to step out and go for it. So thank you for sharing all the different perspectives on it and inspiring people that are doing it now, like Elizabeth. Thanks, Paul.
Awesome thoughts, Alicia. Thank you for that. Star Six, who's next? Come on out.
Bill Moist.
Hey, Bill. How are you, sir?
I am awesome, brother. How about you?
I'm doing awesome myself. Thanks for asking.
You sounded awesome. Well, good morning, family. I want to congratulate Elizabeth on having her first fundraiser. That's really a big event. I have several friends that are doing some nonprofit work, and that first time out is you know kind of daunting at first, you know. But there are good people that will join your cause. But the story of the lady who started the rescuing of the slaves. You know, the part of that story that's so amazing to me is that was during a time where women really didn't have the rights they have today. And to go against her husband's wish and go and do it anyways, wow. Think of how powerful that drive was in her, that desire was to be free and to bring other people into freedom. It's just, to me, that's such an inspiring story. But, you know, everybody who's achieved freedom in their lives have had some experience similar to that. Maybe it wasn't physical risk, but there was always people that were close to us that maybe didn't believe in us, you know, they didn't have confidence in us, especially when things get tough. So I love that story, and thank you for sharing that, Paul. I love all of y'all. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Love you, Bill. Thanks for coming out.
You bet.
Sort of like puts things into a little bit of perspective too, because like, you know, in all of the journeys that we have in our own particular businesses and lives and challenges, you know, sometimes like, this is tough, you know, but like you look at her story, it's like, man, we have it easy. You know what I mean? Like, it's like what she had to do for her freedom, the challenges she had to face and others, you know, but we're talking about her story. That just blows my mind, you know, that she faced all of that and she did it anyway. I mean, that just inspires me to know that, hey, I can face whatever little challenges I have in my business, and so can we all. Star Six, who's next? Come on out.
Joe Dollar.
Hey, Joe Dollar. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, and good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. I love you all, and stands out to me again with the reading. Again, we know this is definitely, definitely, definitely by no means a religious call, and with Wallace Waddles by him using God, can be taken that way that it's about a religion. It's not about that. We can call it God, infinite intelligence, nature, or what so have you. Whatever it is, it's a force, it's a power, It's there, and it's moving toward the advancement of everything in existence to just move on to completion. And everything is perfect the way that it is. And with even like with Harriet Tubman, the thing about it, if with us now, we can just move forward, have the commitment and the determination to go ahead and get it done. Make the decision to do it. Decide, hey, liberty or death. That's it. I'm gonna live in freedom or I'm gonna die. And once you go ahead and do that, you don't have to worry about the how. The how comes. The how, the people that she had, she didn't do it alone, but for her determination, she just decided to do that and move forward. And then everything else was given to her. All of the parts, all of the components that were necessary to get that done were drawn to her, and she was drawn to it. It was attracted, just like us on this call. We have a decision. We've made a decision to be Freedom Crusaders, to be successful, and we determined to get it done, and we go out and do it. Guess what happened? All of us on the mastermind, we're drawn and attracted to each other. Elizabeth, what she's doing, she had no idea that it was going to be, well, with Joe Dollar, we're going to do this. I had no idea it was going to be with Paul. The things that we want, the way that it's going to get done is totally off of our radar.
Hey, Joe, we're getting some feedback. Hold on. One second. Joe, Star 6, come back. Sorry about that.
Alrighty. Yeah, and I just want to say the things that we want to get done, the how part of it, it's off of our radar. We can't fathom. I remember one time Anthony Williams said, 99% of the time, the things are not going to work out the way that you planned for them to work out. We don't know how it's going to happen. But if we go forth with faith and belief that it's going to happen, it will happen. But it's really off of our radar. I know Paul maybe found 3 or 4 years ago, certain things that you're doing right now, you had no idea that this is the way that it would unfold. But it's unfolding. And us, we just have to make a decision, make a commitment, that no matter what, this is what I'm doing. I don't know how. I can't even see how, because the how is really off of my radar. I can't fathom it. It may be some new technology that would come out in the next year or two that does not exist now that would make your goal so much easier. But you don't know how it's going to happen. But make your decision to make sure that you're going to stick to it until it gets done. And it will get done. Don't worry about how. Harriet Tubman didn't think, okay, how are we going to do this thing called the Underground Railroad or whatever. She said, no, I'm just going to do this. And it happened. I love you all. Have a great day.
The man speaks the truth. Ah, Joe Dollar, love you, sir. Thank you for those words so much. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, who's that?
This is Rita.
Rita. I think we had a couple people. Rita, was that Rita that I heard?
Yes.
Rita, go ahead. I think you were first.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and hello to my sweet baby in New Orleans. Christian's hanging out with his brothers and his sons in New Orleans right now, so I miss him, but I know he's here with me in spirit. But we have a special experience. We have a dear friend. Her name is Dr. Ndoki McElroy, and she is she's one of our elders. She doesn't tell her age, but you'd be amazed to know her age. And she is still a working professor at SMU here in Dallas, and she teaches African-American storytelling. And every year, her and her students put on a recital, and we play music for her and stuff. So we're really connected to her, and she's what we consider a mentor and a matriarch. Well, she does her interpretation of Harriet Tubman. And she asked Christian to make a video of her. This was just about a month ago. And she said, I need about a 5-minute video of me as Harriet Tubman. I mean, she does the hair and she dresses as well as she can to, you know, represent that time. And she tells the story. And it just turned out, I mean, she did it without a second take. I mean, we rolled tape and she went through the whole story. I mean, she just became Harriet Tubman right before our eyes in her living room. telling the story. And one cute part of the story, well, first of all, Paul, what you said was exactly right. When she became free, she couldn't enjoy it. At first, she was so happy. She looked around, and it was like being reborn into this beautiful world. But then she immediately knew, I can't enjoy my own freedom, you know, knowing that my people are still, you know, being enslaved. So she had to go help. She had no choice, she said. So one time when they were really searching for her and there was a huge bounty on her head, she was on a train and all of these, you know, men that were looking for her, and they were going to get a huge reward if they brought her back dead or alive, you know. And she couldn't read, and it was common knowledge that she couldn't read. And she looked on the seat beside her on the train, and there was a newspaper. And she picked up the newspaper and put it in front of her face and pretended like she was reading to disguise, so they would think, well, that's not her. That can't be her. Anyway, they overlooked her. She didn't get caught. And after they left the train, she realized she was holding the newspaper upside down. And she said, evidently they couldn't read either because they didn't know she was holding it upside down. But anyway, that was just a cute little chuckle in that video. And maybe we'll be able to share that 5-minute video of our friend doing Harriet Tubman. But I just thought I would share that and reach out and tell everybody that I love y'all. And I'm really proud of all of us for becoming, you know, the best version of ourselves that we possibly can. So thanks, Paul, for letting me talk.
You're awesome, Rita Joy. Great contribution. And I would love to see that video posted in the group. That would be fantastic.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. I think there was another gal coming out with Rita Joy. Who was that?
That was Lori Sue.
Oh, Lori Sue. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. What a great call. I didn't want it to come up, and my heartstrings are being tugged on too as you started to talk about Harriet Tubman. I thought of Elizabeth, and I actually thought of everybody on the call. It seems to me that we all are on a journey that it is a struggle. It's a stepping out into the unknown. I think of the first time she must have just left her husband and stepping into the unknown. That first trip that she took must have been, you know, she had to push through it. She had to hold on to her faith. She had to fight through fear. And that, to me, is such an inspiration. And it seems to me that we actually are on something just as, I shouldn't say just as, because I've never been in her position, but it seems to me that our mental challenges, that ability that we, that muscle we exercise to move forward in our mind to overcome obstacles that we can't see are even, I might think, are even harder to get through, or at least we can, you know, it tugs on my heartstrings because I think it must have felt some of those same things as the obstacles come and we think like there's no way out of it, but we take a minute like Joe Dollar saying and go, wait a minute, there's this seed in my heart that's growing, and I need to step forward, and I'm afraid of what my next step is, but there is this higher power, this creator, this source that is kind of pulling us, you know, in the right direction if we will but listen and heed and just step through and choose faith. And I think the example of everybody on this call, like Alicia was saying, it's just an inspiration. And knowing that we are on this journey together and that we are making a difference and that the world is changing for the better, even as people around us say that it's not. Every step that Harriet Tubman took, there was, you know, people around probably saying, oh, the world's a terrible place, you know, don't step forward, you're not going to make it. When in reality, she said, no, I know I will, because I can choose liberty or I'll choose death, and one or the other, I will make it. And anyway, I just love that, and I wanted to share that. I'm hoping that others might be feeling the same way and realize we're all Harriet Tubman moving forward to freedom. So thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Lori Sue. Love those thoughts. And isn't that part of like what faith is, right? Like faith is not being able to see every step of the path and then therefore you move forward. No, it's almost the opposite of that. You don't see the steps on the path. You just see that there's something great waiting for you and you're supposed to move in that direction. And there's this calling out there, this whispering from the universe saying, freedom is this way. Your destiny is this way. This is the way you're supposed to go. Trust me, believe me. And you don't really know like what's going to be on the path between here and there. You just know you're supposed to go that way. And the way, like Joe Dollar says, seems to unfold. The path seems to clear up at the right time in the right way. And yes, Lori Sue, I feel like we are all on that journey. So it's just cool to have that reconfirmed and, you know, hear that we're all sort of experiencing the same thing in a way. So good thoughts. Thank you. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Patrick Action Jackson.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, brother? Good morning.
Good,
thinking for Rich family. I caught the call, I think, probably 15 minutes in, but I, of course, I heard you talking about Harriet Tubman. And it reiterates the point of not stopping, not resting on your laurels, not getting comfortable. Because one of her famous quotes that she mentioned was, I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves. And I think about that when it comes to business, when it comes to relationship with people, not to give up on people. A lot of times, you know, you can get frustrated and, you know, you scratch your head like, wow, you know, and of course, sometimes you say move to the next. But even if they come back to you, you still have a message for them. You're still preaching that same freedom crusade message of, hey, I'm still doing, you see what I'm doing? I'm still grinding. I'm still having fun. I'm still smiling and just still fighting the good fight. Because at the end of the day, like that's a famous, you know, people say that line at the end of the day, or the bottom line is when you get to a point in life, you look back and people are patting you on your back and you look back at the, I call it the shade trees, and we're planting seeds now so that when the seeds of the trees grow and get tall and the limbs and all of that's extended out, and we can sit up under those shade trees. If Harriet Tubman was alive today, she could sit up under some shade trees that blossom from the seeds that she planted. Everything is not perfect in this world. That's part of the human element. However, that line, I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves. There's a lot of people out there still are shackled. They're still a shackle mentally, not knowing that, hey, freedom is right here at the other road. And if I could just show you just bit by bit, get you to open your eyes just a little bit more, or maybe get you to close your eyes and open your mind, because vision a lot of times is not sight, but it's believing before you see it. So Harriet Tubman, that resonates with me deeply, man. So I just wanted to share that with you. Back to you, Paul.
Your words resonate with me deeply, Action Jackson. Appreciate you so much.
Hey, Paul. Brett Hudson, how you doing?
Hey, Brett. Good to hear you, man. Doing great. How about yourself?
Awesome. Yeah, what an inspiring story. I mean, to me, Harriet Tubman, she just had that belief, you know, in her core. You know, when I think of faith, you know, I remember a passage. It's, you know, blessed is the man who believes before he sees. And, you know, I always like to use the analogy, like in the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, where, you know, Indiana Jones has to take that first step to get across the canyon. And, you know, he has to believe that when he takes that step, you know, the steps are going to appear. So he ventures off and takes that step and turns off, you know, that bridge appears to get to the other side. So to me, you know, Harriet Tubman had that belief in her core. She could see it. She knew what she was going to accomplish before she even, you know, even saw it. She just believed. So anyways, I hope that helps. Thanks.
Definitely does, Brett. Great thought, sir. Good stuff. I'm loving the discussion, guys. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Mr. Paul.
Oh, this is,
Hey, Chris in Atlanta. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. I just had to come out. I'm glad I'm on the mastermind this morning. But one of the things that I was thinking about, and it ties in so much to entrepreneurship, leadership, being a business owner, is normality, what's normal, and what's abnormal. And one of the things that I was thinking about is as a leader or an entrepreneur, you really are being abnormal. And one of the things that came to my mind, Paul, is that I know you've got, I believe, four beautiful boys. I think you have four beautiful sons. And one of the things that I was thinking about was this. When your sons, when they were born, and this is not a political call or a religious call, but I just think this is highly important because it ties in, and I heard Elizabeth come out. But when your children were born, they were born under the presidency of a black man. And when they turn on the television, because they were born into that, when they see this man, because this is not a political call, because there are many policies that Obama has that I don't agree with. But when they turn on the TV and they see this man because they're kids, that's normal to them. That's normal. There's nothing abnormal about that. And I heard Elizabeth come out in her generation, turning on the TV, seeing that, that would have been abnormal to her in her generation. And I thought about that because we don't realize how powerful our subconscious minds are. And all of us, regardless of who we are, and we're striving for these top leadership positions and to be this quote unquote massive entrepreneur in the marketplace. We don't realize that years and years and years and years of things that have been fed into our subconscious minds, because our subconscious mind doesn't understand or realize what's real and what's not. It just takes it in. We don't realize all of the things that go against what it is that we're trying to do today as leaders, because leadership today, to a large extent, and entrepreneurship, successful entrepreneurship, has a lot to do with thinking that is abnormal. I did not want to see this movie. My wife called me, and I think I talked to you on the phone. Paul, I'm traveling, doing some motivational speaking, in certain places. But my wife called me and she said she wanted to go see this movie, Birth of a Nation. And I said, Joanne, I said, I don't want to see any slave movies. I'm just being honest. Well, she said, well, let's just go. You know, we've got a couple of friends, and let's just go as a couple, and we'll invite two more couples out, and we'll have a discussion after the movie. I didn't want to go, but you know, hey, I don't like arguing with a woman, so I go to see this movie. but there was a scene in the movie that also ties into entrepreneurship and what I'm talking about. But just listen to this: there were two little girls. All people are fundamentally good. Two precious little girls. One was white, one was black. But it just ties into what I'm saying. And she and the white girl have a leash with a collar around a black girl's neck, and they were skipping, and they were skipping alone. But here's the key: both children are fundamentally good. Okay, they were both smiling and having a good time. Think about that. These two precious little girls were smiling, skipping, while one had a leash holding one, and the little girl had a collar around her neck. They were smiling and having a good time. You know what? That was normal to them. That was normal. So to go against the grain of what's normal and to do something abnormal like Harriet Tubman did, or abnormal to become a successful entrepreneur, and abnormal to totally against everybody in your family that's had a 9-to-5 job since you can remember, you'd have to be crazy. Elizabeth was crazy. I mean, and a lot of people, we don't want to look at it that way, but Paul, what's normal to your children? Because I think every generation, as we move forward
every generation gets a little bit better and loves a little bit more than the previous generation, because it becomes a little bit more normal, and it's normal to them, but it's abnormal to us. So I just really wanted to share how powerful it is that your being abnormal today, 9 times out of 10, will be what's normal tomorrow. But you got to be have the courage like Elizabeth to be abnormal today. I just wanted to share that. Back to you, Paul.
Oh, man, I love it. Chris, great thoughts, man. Thank you so much for being here and sharing that. And come on here, guys. We're all crazy, and it's good, isn't it, guys? If you've ever felt like, you know, you're different, if you've ever felt like being an entrepreneur is a little bit strange, if you've ever been looked upon by the people around you as out of the ordinary, by not falling in line, right? Hopefully we can all realize today that's a good thing and we're on the right path. And also hopefully we can all remember that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And furthermore, we don't have to see the whole journey. We just have to be able to see the next step. I want to encourage y'all to go take that next step today, and we'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. By the way, we're going to have a great show tomorrow. We have a copywriting expert coming out to share some sales magic with us, you know, how to be a wonderful wordsmithing wizard in different things you're putting together with your advertising. And we'll see you guys back here tomorrow morning. Thanks for being here. Take care, and bye for now. Thanks for being here, guys.
God is great.
Yes.
Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome.
That was awesome.
What a call. What a call. Boy, am I excited. Boy, am I excited.
Peter, appreciate you.
Have a great day. Love y'all.
You too.
Awesome.
Love you.
Awesome.